I'd like to introduce John Witte. Those of you who know John is one of our deacons here at Calvary. And Pastor Bruce is gone this weekend, and so he's filling in for Pulpit Supply. So let's welcome John this morning.
Thank you. So if you could please stand, and we'll grab our Bibles, and we'll say it together. This is the Word of God, and we know that it's true. All right, turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit look like in our churches, in our day-to-day life? What's it supposed to look like? What's He supposed to look like? Some of the initial things that come up in my mind about when I understand the Holy Spirit. Where is He in our church today? Where is He in our lives? If somebody saw me on a Monday afternoon on Main Street, would they be able to see the Spirit in me? That's a really tough question, and it's really convicting, too. If we were put on trial for being Christians, is there enough evidence to convict us? Once we make that decision, when we accept the Lord, when we pray, ask for forgiveness, and He forgives our sins, at that point He gives us the Holy Spirit. And it's wonderful. But are we stifling Him? Am I stifling Him in my day-to-day? Is there a reason why I'm not letting Him lead my direction, not just on Sundays, but Mondays, Friday nights, whatever? And so what I kind of did is pick apart the truths about the Holy Spirit from Scripture and the attributes of the Holy Scripture, and I'd like to share those things with you today. So let's turn to John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you will know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. So what does that tell us? I look at that and it tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person, isn't He? They refer to Him as He and not an it or a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. I think that's significant. So I wrote that down as one of the truths that we know. Okay, now let's look at Acts. Here's another description of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of where we started in. And it's Acts 5, verses 3 and 4. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you do such a thing as this? You have not lied to man, but to God." I'd never caught this before until I was doing this study, that we know that the Holy Spirit is God. It says right here, he intertwines the names Holy Spirit and God. So here, Holy Spirit is God. We know Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But right here, he speaks of that. You can use it interchangeably, Holy Spirit and God. So that's the second truth. Third point I found out, if you go to John 14, 16. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Forever. He's a holy and eternal being. So the Spirit is a person, He is God, and He's a holy and eternal being. And isn't it amazing that with us, with our fallen bodies, that this holy, eternal being chooses to dwell within us? That's just amazing to me all the time. Okay, another truth I found is the Holy Spirit has His own mind. He prays for us. That's in Romans 8:27. "And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for us with the saints in accordance with God's will." The Holy Spirit, He's praying for us all the time. He's interceding to God for us on our behalf. And there's times when I admit I pray for selfish things. Lord, help me get to work on time because I overslept. You know, things that are about me. After studying this and praying about it, I really believe that as I'm praying those things, he's praying the things that I really need to be praying for. Yeah. Amen? He's, you know, everything he does gives God the glory in our lives. And we have to just keep that in our minds as we go through our days. Everything he does brings God the glory. Ephesians 4:30. I'm going to look up here again. The Holy Spirit has emotions. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Not just emotions, but holy, heartfelt grieving. You know, as a guy in this culture, I think we're kind of taught to stifle emotions and not really worry about them, you know, be tough and all that. But God created emotions that we have. And as you read this over and over and start thinking about the word grieving and what it means, I have to confess, I don't know when the last time I've grieved for a sin that I committed. You know, we feel bad. We know it's not right. We try to change. But to grieve for sin, that's what he does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He grieves when we sin. So, you know, so far we've got this person, it's God. He's a holy and eternal being. He prays for us, and he has emotions. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12:11. He has his own desires and will. All these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. He has his own will. He has plans for us in our lives, for each of us. And that goes beyond just me and you, but it goes to our whole church body, the whole church as a whole. He has a will for our lives and for our actions. And finally, the last truth that I was able to, and this is not an exhaustive list by any means. These are the ones that I was able to search out and find. Here's some big words, some theological words. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He's all-powerful. I think that's the easy way to say it. And I've got some verses that can explain that. Psalm 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed the depths, you are there. He's everywhere. The next one, 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even deep things of God. He sees everything. Another reference is Isaiah. Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? More than we can fathom. More than we can even begin to think of. Okay, so those are the truths of God that I found in the Bible. I think the next time we're going to talk about are the attributes of the Holy Spirit, what he does in our lives. First one is he gives us words to use when we get into difficult situations. Ever been there? Ever had a friend that came up to you out of the blue and said, I'm really struggling right now in my marriage? I wouldn't have a clue what to say to him. Also, you just converse. Everything turns out okay. If we just seek him and just have faith that he'll give us the words to say, we can counsel him. And it's not our counsel. Again, who are we giving the glory to in all this? So he gives us words to say. In Luke 12:11-12, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what to say. The next attribute that I saw is he teaches us and reminds us of things. He's our advisor and our comforter. And the reference I found for this is Acts 9, verse 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. He gives us peace. He reminds us what the things that we need to know. He reminds us of the truths that we so often forget in our day-to-day lives. And he counsels us and he advises us on the places and things we should go and think about. All right, the next one is he gives us power. In Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit gives us power. And Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that the words cannot express. He's also our helper. He sets us free from sins that we cannot get rid of on our own. Romans 8:2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. On this verse, the NIV study Bible that I usually read from, that was kind of cloudy for me. But I've got this Living Bible. That one says that, I like how it says that, for the power of the life-giving Spirit, and this power is mine through Jesus Christ, has freed me from the vicious circle of sin and death. Everything that we, in the world, it drags you down. You know, the sins that you get pulled into. And there's some sins we just cannot get past on our own. I think of things that I've changed in my life. There's no way on my power I could do that. So the Holy Spirit has helped us, helped me personally with that. Next, he reassures us that we are his children, adopted into the family of God. Romans 8:15 and 16, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and we cry to him, Abba, Father. That is so profound. We think about at that moment when we accepted him and we became sons and daughters of God. You know, no longer am I a tech guy or farmers or teachers or the different roles. We're all in the family of God, but we're still in this world. And I like a likeness that I had read where that would make us God's ambassadors to the world, right? And so as we're sitting here representing the kingdom of heaven here on earth, we should be set apart. We should look different than others. So the Holy Spirit helps us do that job. This is one I was referring to earlier. He convicts us of sins in our lives. John 16:7 through 11. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So when you are getting off track in the things you do, in your thought life, in your physical life, in your work life, he will convict you of your sins if you listen for him, if you listen. Romans 8:10. He brings us life. That's another attribute of God. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. As long as we're feeling that Holy Spirit pull, it's just reassurance. For me, sometimes, when I get in those dark moments, when I am falling, dropping back from my relationship from God, he's not moving. It's me that's moving in my life. And it's reassuring to know that the Holy Spirit is the one that draws me back in, gets me back in the Word, gets me back in prayer. He's been praying the whole time. Even when I'm walking in the dark, stumbling around, he's been praying on my behalf. He's been grieving for me. He gives us hope. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is a good thing. And there's not a lot of hope when you read the news these days. We have hope in Christ through the Holy Spirit. He gives us personal gifts to use for God's glory. That's in the Bible. He gives us these gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. He gives each of us unique gifts to be used to glorify God. And I looked, there's no place in the Bible where it says, and he took them all away. Or it says that he quit giving them in this year or at this time. And he is our sanctifier. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about when we, with unveiled faces, all reflect God's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And these are some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. These fruits will characterize our lives. That's what I believe gives us that light that sets us apart from the world. And that's what we need to work on. And the way to work on these things is to read, to pray. He promises us if we believe and repent our sins and ask for the Holy Spirit, he'll give him to you. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's a promise. Promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. That includes us. I love it when they talk right directly to me in the Bible. You know, for all time, for the generations to come. That's us right there. That's a promise. There's a promise. It is there for us. All we just have to do is ask. One of the singing groups that we had at Sunshine had a really simple but profound statement. He said, "No person is too good to not need God, and no person is too bad that the Holy Spirit cannot cover him." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your truths. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who is in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. And we pray for more of you, Lord, every day. I pray that tomorrow when I'm going about my daily business and each one of us, that we would just be in tune with you throughout the day, Lord. The Holy Spirit is what gives us that lifestyle of worship in all we do. We want more of you, Lord God. We want to just seek you and give you glory in all we do. Lord, all these things we pray in your holy name. Amen.